Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked. Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And we are back with our third episode of Book Dropped, where we took a small peek inside of our recently returned books to see what Baytown's reading, because we are nosy.
We certainly are. And we grabbed three books each, so I will start us off with a children's biography about Coco Chanel called Coco and the Little Black Dress by Anne-Marie Van Harrington. I assume that's how you pronounce her name. But it's a very cute book, very well illustrated about Coco Chanel's life, where she grew up. She was born in 1888. Yes, you know, a lot earlier than all of us think she was born. And in her orphanage, she did a lot of sewing, embroidery, and things like that. They usually employed children to do manual labor like that. And she had this dream to go on to design more practical women's wear, which in the late 1800s, early 1900s, meant not giant long skirts. And as everyone knows, she did a very good job because she is still around. Well, not her, but her company. Still around and kicking.
And I have to say, and you would hope this for anything that has to do with fashion, the book art style is very striking.
It is, yes. They do a very good job. It's a lot of, like, neutral colors, which is important because that was her big thing. But every so often you get like red lipstick or like a pink corset, something like that. Some, you know, it seems simple, but it's very much not.
Yeah, it very much looks like that book is a labor of love.
Yes.
So I will talk about a graphic novel that intrigued me. It's called Sheets, and it is by Brenna Thumler. On the cover is a washing machine, and there is a ghost inside of it. And basically it follows a girl named Marjorie who is trying to take care of her super, super depressed father and her 5-year-old baby brother, as well as even help run the family's laundromat. But it's also about a young ghost named Wendell, who is incredibly curious about the human world. Both of them actually could use friends, but they start off on the wrong foot entirely, where he keeps wrecking things in her laundromat, and she's getting really frustrated with him because she's already got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts of people that died young have kind of like a Ghosts Anonymous group that they form, where they can kind of talk to each other. And at the very beginning, he says, okay, I think I'm finally ready to share how I died. See, it all started when I was taken captive by a crew of mutant pirates. My mom was spying on some felons, and my dad was sawing her in half because he was a magician. They didn't notice those dirty swashbucklers take shore behind our house and drag me away. You mean to say your mom didn't notice the enormous ship in her backyard? No, it was a canoe. So if that gives you a good feel for how Wendell is, he's adorable, mischievous, and probably the perfect ghost to come haunt your abode.
If I had any ghosts, I would want it to be Wendell.
Yes.
Okay, so next I'm going to change it up a little bit. We did two children's books, but I'm going to pull out Sunstorm by Asa Larsson, as if you can't tell from the name, a Swedish author. If you didn't know, Swedish authors have been very popular recently, and well, the last few years, ever since The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, because they have this very, like, gritty, cold style of writing. And this one looked really interesting because it was called Sunstorm. And I will go ahead and let you know it's about a Stockholm attorney, and she was disgraced in her hometown. She returns to help her friend Sanna because her brother was just murdered brutally in the church of a cult he helped create. So they're trying to figure out a way to get the blame off of Sanna because Rebecca doesn't think she did it, and then also figure out who the killer is in this creepy cult. I'll go ahead and read you the first line because it's really beautiful. When Victor Strandgaard dies, it is not, in fact, for the first time. He lies on his back in a church called the Source of All of Our Strength and looks up through the enormous windows in its roof. It's as if there's nothing between him and the dark winter sky above.
That actually is an incredible sentence.
It's a very good opening sentence.
Okay, so I guess I'd better be honest here, and the only reason I picked up this book was because Lucifer was in the title. It's called The Fall of Lucifer, and it's by Wendy Alec. I was actually hoping that it would be a romance novel because I thought that would be really funny, but no, it's actually an inspirational fiction title, and it's the first in a series basically about Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer, and it's looking at the fall of Lucifer. So I took a small peek at it, and here's an example of a sentence. He passed so close that Gabriel's white mare trembled and snorted at the putrid reek of his satanic wizardry. Anyway, at one point, you know, it kind of talks about how Lucifer was friends with Michael and Gabriel, and ultimately it really started to feel like a recap of Revenge of the Sith, but with Christian overtones.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In fact, at one point they were even referring to the younger angels as younglings, and I was like, I think she must have at least been watching that film while she was writing this, maybe.
Or maybe she watched it and she was like, they're just telling the story of the fall of Lucifer. But with Star Wars overtones. I didn't do
that. That was blasphemy.
I didn't do it. You can't prove it was me. There's no video. Okay, so the last book I pulled, I actually switched this out at the last minute because of the title. It's called The Hungry Woman, and I was like, what in the world is that about? It's actually the myths and legends of the Aztecs. And they actually have illustrations from the Aztecs from the 16th century. Aztec artists of the 16th century, I should say. And I'm going to go ahead and describe, it's a bunch of different myths, but I'm going to describe the myth of the hungry woman, since that is the title myth. It's about this woman who had, and I quote, mouths in her wrists, mouths in her elbows, mouths in her ankles and knees. She was kicked out of the spirit world because she was always asking for something to eat and they didn't have food.
That just sounds like a male teenager.
Yeah. And they pushed her in this water. It was all air and with like a little bit of water, and they pushed her into the water because they were like, here, go down there, you'll be happier. And she died. And they turned her body into earth, and they made hair from her hair. They made forests from her eyes, pools and springs from her shoulders, mountains from her nose, valleys. So they turned her into the world, and they were like, there, she'll be satisfied now. She's the entire world. She's everything. But when people are sacrificed or killed in battle, she drinks their blood. Her mouths are always opening and snapping shut, but they are never filled. Sometimes at night when the wind blows, you can hear her crying for food. Yeah, it's about how the earth, you know, kills everything and takes it back.
Nice.
There you go. What an exciting read right there.
That's super intriguing, though, because it's something that I don't think very many of us are really that familiar with.
No, we know
with.
A lot about Greek mythology and Roman mythology because it's the same thing. And now, because of Thor, we know a lot about Norse mythology. But people don't really, you know, study the Aztecs for fun, I don't think.
Yeah.
They should.
Very intriguing picks. So my last one was actually the first one that caught my eye because it's called The Secret Language of Relationships.
And it is hefty.
Yes, you could get a serious arm workout with it. It is bigger than most Bibles.
You could solve a problem in a relationship with that.
Yeah, I know, right? It's got like 815 pages on it. Anyway, it's kind of a guide to astrology and what it has to do with relationships. I just picked it up because I thought it was funny. So I first looked up, I happen to be dating someone right now, so I looked up what it said about our signs, and it basically described it as excessive interest. It said, united by an interest in peculiar personal traits, the relationship may well find its own members the most interesting objects of study. Anyway, it also talks about famous couples who fall into that, and it mentioned Lillian Gilbreth and Frank Gilbreth, who actually had 12 children. That is not one of my relationship goals.
Talk about excessive interest.
But it does more than just romantic relationships. It also talks about parent-child or sibling relationships or even working relationships. So I looked at my sons as well out of curiosity, and it actually said that our match was best for family and worst for marriage, which is good to know.
Good.
Not that I ever really wanted to go there.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's kind of fun. It's a good curiosity piece. You could look up, you know, your different family members and kind of explore what it says about you.
Yeah.
I don't take a lot of stock in it, but it's at least amusing.
You can always pin your zodiac signs on why you don't like your weird uncle.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And just be like, I'm sorry, it was the stars.
The stars made me hate you. Okay, well, thank you for joining us for another episode of Book Drop. We hope you got a little glimpse into what Baytown is reading.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye.